We're back with another ESFFL podcast. This one is for November 19th, 2015. And once again, I have two special guests today. Today we have Travis Davis of the Chesapeake Clamoring Clams and Jake Hale of the New England Chowderheads. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
Anything funny? Anything funny happened to you guys lately?
Take two.
Yeah, this is take two of the podcast because we tried this once and it just didn't work too well. There was just a little bit of laughter going on. But anyway, the Clams and Chowderheads will meet on the fantasy football playing field this week, and we will profile that matchup shortly. But before we go there, let's look at how these two teams have performed this season thus far. And actually, let's start by talking about this Endor division, the division that both of you teams are in. I actually think Endor means group of death in Jawanese. Now, you two are fellow competitors in this division, a division which I think we could arguably say is possibly the toughest, maybe even in the history of fantasy football. Do you guys agree with that assessment? Maybe Travis should go first. Yeah. Here. Somebody should go.
It's definitely the toughest one I've ever been in ESFL. Some really great teams playing, really high point totals. I've never seen point totals this high. I don't know, Jake, what you think?
See, I told you the same thing was going to happen.
No, I couldn't agree with you more, Travis. And I only have 2 years of history in the league. Comparing this year versus last year, there's nothing like it. I think even
Jake has some Ewok reference here that he just can't get through. I don't know what's going on.
Moving on.
So the Chowderheads are 9-2. They're coming off a tough loss last week to the Swallows, a single point loss. Have one of the highest point totals in the league at 1,213 total points. I think your record and your point total are both second best in this 34-team league, so that's quite an accomplishment thus far. Now, Jake, earlier in the season, you were on pace to break the single-season scoring record for the ESFFL. But now it looks like you've slowed that pace a little. It looks like you need about 263 points between this week and next to break that record. Also, you have to outscore the heavies who've now surpassed you in their point total. So I wanted to ask you, is this record a goal for you, or is it just kind of a nice to have on the way to a potential championship?
I'd say it's a goal. The boat's leaking a little right now down the stretch, but I think we're going to rebound. I've cleared the space on the trophy shelf for the most points. But I think most importantly, the key is the bye. I think with all the strength that we just talked about, just eliminating one round of going up against one of these top teams is pretty important.
Get you one step closer to that final game, right? Now, of course, as I mentioned, the Chowderheads are first in the division, the Endor division. Second in the division are the Galloping Scallops at 8-3. Now, they also lost last week, so their momentum has slowed a little bit. But that's one of the few blemishes on their otherwise stellar record. Now, Travis, this is your brother's team. So I ask you, are you regretting having brought them into the league yet?
A little bit. I definitely knew he was going to be a top competitor in the league. He's always been a great person for me to bounce fantasy football advice off of, and he's having a great year. I think he's on. If he can go the rest of the season without losing another game, he should have the same record as I did my first year in the league. He's definitely doing a great job.
So I think next in the division is the Wolves, and I believe both of you guys have lost to them, so they're a tough team, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think both when Jake and I played him, he put up some of his best weeks. He definitely gets up for the Endor division games. I think he almost had a record against Jake for most points.
I don't match up well with him just because he's got a lot of my top guys. So.
And then we also have the Tomcats, who are at the bottom of the division, but they still have a decent record, and they've been a formidable competitor as well this season, right?
Yeah, I feel like they got really unlucky early in the season when they reserved Jordy Nelson, but they look like they're going to be able to overcome that pretty well. So it's pretty. They'll definitely be tough to go.
I think they could surprise a few teams here in the last 2 weeks of the season. All right, so since we've talked about all the teams in your division, let's get back to this week's matchup between these two teams, the Clamoring Clams and the Chowderheads. It's time for the Extreme Bolt and Fastener matchup of the week. I screwed that up 2 weeks in a row now. I can't believe it. So let's look at the quarterbacks on these two teams. And I think this is a very intriguing matchup here at quarterback because, Jake, you have Cam Newton and Carson Palmer, two guys who have definitely outperformed their salaries so far this season. Newton and Palmer are 6th and 7th in quarterback fantasy scoring in our league right now, while the Clams quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, is 5th. And that's 2 points or 2 spots behind Phillip Rivers, by the way. I had to just throw that in because that's one of the few things I can brag about this season is the performance of Phillip Rivers. But, Jake, how do you like your matchups with your quarterbacks this week?
I love it. This isn't your grandfather's Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't strike the fear of God in me like he has in years past. Going against a real tough Minnesota defense. And then I see Cam, although Washington's kind of frisky, I would say that there's a lot of points to be had. I wouldn't be surprised if Cam's your number one quarterback for the week in matchups. I don't know. What do you think, Travis?
Well, you know, I've already mentioned that Travis has Aaron Rodgers, and he's the 5th overall quarterback in fantasy scoring. And like you kind of mentioned, Jake, he hasn't quite looked himself this season. Maybe it is the loss of Jordy Nelson or the offensive line. What do you think is the issue, Travis?
It's been a huge disappointment this year. Jordy Nelson obviously was a tough loss. I don't think Randall Cobb's the same guy without Mr. Nelson. The offensive line, he looks a little bit more banged up than he usually is, so it's definitely been a disappointment. He's definitely getting hit a lot more than he usually does. And the lack of running game has also been a disappointment because obviously he can't
can't do it all himself,
hit on that crutch,
right?
Yeah. So hopefully we can get a big week out of him. He's actually put up pretty good point totals the last 2 weeks of I think 26 and 20 points. So it'd be nice to get another 26, 28, hell, 34 points would be great.
You left out the biggest reason. He's dating Olivia Munn. It's called the celebrity.
You can't really
curse.
Blame him though. You can't really blame him. I'd take.
I think back to Tom Brady dating Tara Reid, and that might have been the worst year of his career.
All right, so let's move on to running back. Let's see who our running backs are dating these days, if we know that. You both have the free agent phenom, Devonta Freeman. He's fresh off a bye week. And as I mentioned last week, Freeman is currently 2nd overall in total fantasy points, and even the bye week did not knock him out of that second position there. So I finally had a chance to do some research this past weekend because I wanted to see when was the last time a free agent to start the season finished as high as number 2 in overall fantasy scoring. And that last occurred in 2006. So I'm just wondering, do either of you guys know who that was in 2006? Do you have a guess?
I absolutely have no guess. My guess was laughed at, so I'm not going to bring that up.
Does he happen to have the same name as a former UNLV basketball great?
Larry
Johnson?
Larry Johnson? No. No.
Because I remember he came out of nowhere.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere, too.
It's a little bit of a trick question because it's actually a team defense that no one took to start the season.
The Bears, maybe?
It was the Baltimore Ravens. And interesting, they finished 2nd overall in 2006, starting the season as a free agent. And in 2008, they finished 3rd overall, starting again as a free agent. So, interesting statistic there. All right, so beyond Freeman, Jake, you have Chris Ivory as your only, I believe, active running back this week, barring free agent moves, because you have D'Angelo Williams on bye. Kristen Michael is on the street, and Deion Lewis is in the rehab center. So, first of all, I want to ask you what was not dropping Deion Lewis all about. Is this an example of fantasy football roster hubris? Do you think you can stash Lewis for next season and still win a championship using only 15 roster spots? What's going on here?
Jeff, I think this was my Andy Reid clock management moment of the season. I have to admit, I may have fell asleep at the wheel for a week.
A week where you only needed 2 more points to win.
So, yes, I have no excuse for that one.
All right. Well, we'll give you a pass on that one. Travis, you have Chris Ivory as well. You have D'Angelo Williams on bye. But you also have the NFL's leading rusher in Adrian Peterson. Will that child abuser be your key to victory this week?
Whoa. Had a low blow.
Former child abuser.
Yeah, he's not. Okay. I hope so. he's really the only shot I think I have. We have a lot of the similar players, and without having the guy, losing Bell obviously hurt me a lot, and Lewis as well, but Peterson's definitely the guy I'm going to have to rely on this week to get some points for me.
And by the way, Travis, last week you dropped Le'Veon Bell, and that was after a week of, I guess, thinking it over whether you're going to drop him or not. So that must have been a hard decision for you. Were you in fear of falling back into purgatory if you held on to him? Or I should say, do you fear now going into purgatory having dropped him?
I do a little bit. I don't know what he's going to be when he comes back, but if I remember going into the season with the first podcast, if you go back and listen to what I said, if you have a shot, you got to take it when you can. And that the first season when I was in the championship game, I tried to hold on to some guys because I thought that they were going to help me next year. And that was one of my biggest regrets. So I thought back to that time, and I got to go for it while I can.
I think that was the smart move, and we'll see how it turns out. All right, so moving on to wide receiver, you both have DeAndre Hopkins, and it'll be interesting to see if he survives Revis Island this weekend. I think he also has a knee injury that he's been nursing.
It's questionable.
Yeah, he's questionable right now. We'll see if he practices today. The Chowderheads have three other stellar wideouts in Julio Jones, Randall Cobb, and Amari Cooper. The Bay Foxes are also facing Julio Jones this week, so I'm on record as predicting at least two touchdowns for Julio this week because that's the way my season has gone. What do you think about it, Jake?
I'm feeling pretty good. He's my team captain. He seems locked and loaded for this week at home against Indy, coming off a bye. So anything less than two touchdowns would be disappointing.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure. Two was like the baseline, and probably throwing a third just for kicks. Now, Travis, unfortunately, you have Antonio Brown on bye this week. You have John Smokey Brown, who appears to be on a pitch count or perhaps acting as a decoy in the Cardinals offense because of his bad hammy. You also have Jordan Matthews, but with Mark Sanchez at quarterback, you never know when Sanchez is going to throw a hospital ball to him. And for good measure, you have Sammy Watkins likely facing Super Bowl hero Malcolm Butler. So, Travis, can any of these guys get it done for you this week?
Well, after watching Sammy Watkins drop every pass that was thrown to him last week, I'm a little bit worried about this group of guys. Antonio Brown, obviously, was the guy I've been relying on all year, and not having him is a huge challenge for me. But John Brown, I wouldn't look past him because he, I know that Floyd's banged up too.
Yep.
So I think he'll get a little bit more attention in the offense, and hopefully he'll be ready to go for me, score some points finally.
All right. Now moving on to tight end, Jake, you have two solid guys in Travis Kelce and Jordan Reed. Kelce faces the Chargers this week, and Reed faces the Panthers. Are either of these favorable matchups?
I'm leaning no. I think about Kirk Cousins is a little too trick-or-treat, and going against the Panther D, we might be leaning towards the trick side of things, and I don't know how you predict what Travis Kelce is going to do each week.
Yeah. Yeah, Panthers have very good coverage linebackers, I think. And, Alex Smith just doesn't like to throw the ball more than he has to. So, all right, Travis, you've been lamenting to me all season about your tight end situation. You're finally free of Jordan Cameron. You've got Tyler Eifert, whichever way you pronounce it, Eifert, and Charles Clay right now, those two guys carrying the mail for you. Will they be able to get it done this week?
I also have Richard Rodgers. Let's not forget Rodgers' connection on the Green Bay Packers. So.
Your brother, Jeff.
Yeah, so you're running three tight ends this week.
I have three tight ends currently.
Your roster. Okay.
Thank God Jordan Cameron's finally on. That guy was the biggest disappointment of the whole season. So hopefully I can just keep up. If any of his guys have a big week, hopefully I just rely on Eifert and he's able to do what he needs to do and what he's been doing all season. So
this is the same Eifert that dropped 10 balls Monday night.
He'll be back.
That means he got 13 targets, though. So let's move on and just briefly talk about kicker, because it's interesting here that, Travis, you picked up a new kicker last week in Connor Barth, while Jake's guy and my guy and just about everyone else's guy, Brandon McManus, scored only one singular point last week, and that must have been disheartening because you only would have needed 3 points to get the win. So, yeah, that was a tough week for McManus. Now, Travis, what I wanted to ask you is Barth your guy now? Or because you've generated the salary savings by dropping Le'Veon Bell, are you planning on streaming kickers the remainder of the season?
I think it'll be a flow of kickers coming through my my clubhouse because I have to make up the McManus thing. Yeah, I mean, early in the season, he was killing me. He was one of the top kickers in the league, and it seemed like I was going against him every week because I missed the boat on that one. So I think you could see different kickers in my clubhouse all for the rest of the way.
That's kind of the way it was looking. But this is a nice opportunity with that salary savings to be able to play, you know, kind of the kicker of the week scenario.
I actually think, too, it's not crazy to jump off that McManus bandwagon with Manning gone.
Yeah, with the Broncos certainly did not look great. It wasn't McManus's fault last week, right? Mm-hmm. They scored 1 point. It was the Broncos' offense's fault. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think McManus was on 20 rosters coming into this week. So it'll be interesting to see if he's still on 20 rosters or possibly a few less going into next week. All right, finally, let's talk about defense for a brief moment. The Chowderheads have the Rams. They struggled last week after being really good earlier in the season. The Chowderheads also have the Jets. Travis, you have the Bengals and the Patriots, both recent additions for you. To me, the Patriots hosting the Bills on Monday night probably is the best play here. How do you guys see it?
So here's the thing. It sounds like Jamie Collins is back, which is big for the Pats. And listen, if I lose because the Pats defense went off, I'll gladly take it, as that's my
as a Patriots fan.
A Patriot fan. So
yeah, I like the two defenses I have. I think I usually don't run with the two defense system, but I think it's the way to go, especially after losing Bell. I need to get some points out of there. A lot of my big losses this year have been because defense is going off.
And again, you have some extra salary savings there, so a second defense becomes affordable in that situation. All right, guys, that about wraps up our podcast. But before we head out, would either of you guys like to make a prediction this week on your game?
114 to 113. Chowd heads.
I'm taking a close loss as well. I think it'll be. I think it's probably going to go the Chowd heads' way.
All right, well, we'll see how this goes for you guys this week. I wish both of you guys good luck, and I wish all the teams in the ESFL good luck this week. We've only got 2 weeks to go before playoffs, but we have several more podcasts to go. So you now have listened to this one in its entirety.